Welcome, Greg. It's great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Elaine. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
I know that our listeners are interested. What are people in South Africa reading today for fun?
Elaine, South African literature today, you'll find what flies off the shelves will be a combination of some very serious material around the post-apartheid South African experience. And of course, we're talking here about apartheid, the days up until the early 90s where there was separation of race and legal rule of a minority white regime over a majority black. And a huge amount of work, literary work being done around that theme of both the apartheid experience and also post-apartheid living and how do we get a society back together now that apartheid has been dismantled. And the complete opposite end of the spectrum. The most popular books in South Africa are humor books. And by far the most popular bestseller recently has been a humor book called Spud about a boarding school boy who actually went to the same high school I went to. And that's what people are reading.
Which high school is that?
It's called Michaelhouse. It's a country boarding school set in the beautiful Natal Midlands, rolling hills and red brick and ivy and that sort of thing. It's a gorgeous sort of very much a take on an English boarding school.
Everyone here is reading the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo books. Are they popular in South Africa?
Phenomenally so, and of course the movie just came out. People have been raving about them. I personally haven't read it.
Well, I have, and I'm telling you, you should.
I'll get right on that.
And what are you reading right now?
I tend to read quite a few books at one time, Elaine, and try and mix them up. I'm reading a wonderful South African bestseller from the 90s called Frida and Min, which is about two young girls from very different backgrounds who meet. One is a sort of rich white farm girl who comes to the city and stays with a poor mixed race cousin sort of thing. And a huge amount of pathos. And it's exactly the sort of novel I was talking about earlier. I'm reading a couple other things. Actually, an American classic by Don DeLillo, Underworld, I think it's called, a fantastic postmodern put together of some Americana. And I'm reading a historical novel, The Robe, of course, the great Christian novel.
Hmm. Which books do you think Americans should read to get a sense of South Africa today?
South Africa today. Well, Nadine Gordimer and J.M. Coetzee, who I believe you're going to show a bit preview a bit for the listeners, are two very, very great authors. Both of them have won Nobel Prizes, and they both talk very much into that mid-apartheid era. Gordimer's continued with some work now, but I think for someone to get a sense of South Africa as it is right now, some post-apartheid stuff would be a very good read. It would not necessarily mean the same things to somebody who hadn't lived through that era, but Zakes Mda would be a very good, author to read.
Could you spell that, please? Because I'd like the listeners to know really how to get that book.
Zakes Mda is the author. Mda being the author's surname.
In the United States, there are some classic books that everybody reads in high school, like Catcher in the Rye, Hamlet, Great Gatsby. What are the books that high schoolers read in South Africa?
Well, Elaine, I wish I'd been as in touch with high schoolers as I used to be. I had to go and ask some people and do some reading. It actually hasn't changed much, Elaine. South African high schools are still prescribing the classics, the Shakespeare's, the Crucibles, the Great Gatsby's, that sort of thing. So a fair smattering of both of American literature, British literature and world and European continental literature. And there's a smattering in there then of South African novels as well, of the type that I've been talking about, especially in high schools, your classic apartheid stories, your classic reconciliation stories.
Now, Greg, I know that you're an author yourself, and can you share what it's like to get a book published in South Africa? What's the process?
Well, then I'm a dilettante author who has written and looking to publish. The South African market is very small, as you can imagine. I mean, we've got the same population probably as a large state in America. We're probably, I don't know, the size of California, I imagine. So to get a novel published, unfortunately, you need to be hitting either a very much a bestseller type of market, or you need to be probably selling something that is resonating in a specific cultural niche. Now, Afrikaans literature is astoundingly popular, and it has proliferated extremely well through the last 100 years. So, frankly, if you can learn to write into the, especially that particular niche, that's probably the best selling niche. Otherwise, you need to be writing something that's going to be commercially successful. The odd person will be able to write something that isn't in that oeuvre. And I think the odd art novel will make it through. But unfortunately, as with the rest of the world, the publishing world is a struggling world. It's a world dominated by blogs and social networking, taking people away from wanting to buy. So the old publishing model is as under pressure here. So yes, I think it is a question of asking what would be commercially successful or what would hit on a specific niche.
Now, is there a company like iUniverse in South Africa where aspiring writers can do self-publishing?
There are some self-publishing. There's actually quite a lot of publishing houses. I mean, Penguin are probably one of the dominant ones here, and we have some local publishing houses like Himmel and Rousseau and many others. Mostly in the truly born local publishing houses, again, they focus on Afrikaans. There are a couple of self-publishing, but nothing as good as iUniverse, which seems to be a really fantastic service.
Greg, what writing projects are you working on now?
Elaine, one project that I've actually finished, but I'm still working on it, is a project to try to bring a really postmodern paradigm into what we would call post-colonial writing. So an African story. I actually originally started it as a novel that had no location, but was very clearly an ex-British colony. What we find in South Africa, I think, is we're one of the most liberal countries in the world. We've gone from one of the least liberal, and we've taken about 15 years to become one of the most liberal, where just about everything goes. I have managed to insert into that particular story a large amount of action and a large amount of, I think, fun. The second project I've been working on is a much more straightforward, commercially viable project, I think, which I'm halfway through, which is speaking into crime in South Africa. Unfortunately, it's almost something that you don't want to have to write about. South Africa has a large crime rate. And I've been writing a novel on South African suburbanites of multiple races who decide to enter into a vigilante reaction, having been sort of terrorized by crime. And they join together and begin a rather complex sort of vigilante action that has spin-off consequences and barrels fast sort of downhill in many ways. I think it's quite a fun project. It's a very serious project and one that will resonate with too many South Africans, unfortunately.
Let me ask you the working titles for both of those pieces so that when we see them show up on bookshelves here, we'll know that we've heard about them.
That's very kind of you. Excuse me. The first one is called Narrow Street, which is the postmodern piece. The other piece I've tentatively titled it The Vigil, but I don't think it's a very good title.
Wow. Thank you very much, Greg. This is fascinating stuff. To think that we share the same English language, but the writing and reading habits are different and very similar. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My great pleasure, Elaine.
Bye now.